making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
We thank you for joining us on this Friday session of Abounding Grace, where we're completing our study this week in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the first five verses where the Apostle Paul gives us some very, very sobering words where he says, "Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received by thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." And we've outlined this week, showing that this apostasy, this defection from the faith, is something that we have to recognize is going on behind the scenes, because people in Christian ministry will be turning themselves to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And this past week, we've outlined what that looks like in people who have wanted to deny the exclusive claims of Christianity, the exclusive claims of Christ and his gospel. And today, Paul, for us, we look at two things that were going on in Ephesus that he likened to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They're seem a bit disconnected from us, but hopefully at the end of the program today, you will see the connection and what he's doing here. He outlines two things. In verse 3, he says that these people in the Christian church are forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. What is Paul here describing? Well, Paul is describing something that the early church was facing. Early ideals of what later would be designated as Gnosticism, which taught that all matter is evil, even teaching that God, the creator of the Old Testament, was evil for creating matter. And so with this came rigorous forms of asceticism, a rigorous denial of the body, and so such things as marriage and foods came on the table. And if you go back and study history, a group like the Essenes, you will find this withdrawal from society, a refusal of marriage, exactly the kind of stuff that Paul is speaking of here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He mentions food here, probably referencing some way to the laws of the Old Testament. Whatever was the background, the point is that God had created all of these things to be received with thanksgiving by those who know the truth. But these doctrines of demons come by people, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, and I think this is the key to the whole passage, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. The heart of the Christian gospel, you know what the heart of the Christian gospel is if you're a Christian today. It is the words of our Lord in John 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth is the gospel. The truth is that we have freedom against legalism and against man-made laws. Christ has indeed set us free. And the mark of the Christian is that he realizes that everything now in life has been given to him, and that has been given to him by God, he is to use to enjoy God and to glorify him forever with. All of life is to be lived for the glory of God. And that's why Colossians 3 says, "Whether you eat or whether you drink, even this can be done and should be done for the glory of God." That's what our lives are designed to reflect. That's what God has created us to do and to be. But in verse 4, we're told, "For every creature of God is good." So in other words, matter is not evil. The Gnostics were wrong. "And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." But freedom to receive these things with thanksgiving is what God has given us. We devote our use of all these blessings of God for the glory of God as we recognize He has made all things good. But now here's the real focus here and where Paul's going to address these doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits. The sad reality of the Christian ministry is that often we turn the good gifts of God into bondage. There really are, in the history of the Christian church and even today, two major attacks on the gospel. There have always been. One is what is called as antinomianism. And what antinomianism simply is that since the gospel is free grace, it doesn't matter how we live. There's no regard anymore to the law. Jude condemned that thinking, of course. And of course, Paul addressed this in Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Heaven forbid. Of course not. If God changes the heart, you're now going to go in the newness of life. You're not going to go in the things to which you're now ashamed, as he says in the same chapter. But the other attack, that's one attack. And so I guess that's a very common view that since we're saved, it doesn't matter how we live. Well, that is a heresy. But the other attack is right here in our passage today. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, what we have before us in an essential basic description is you must do these things to be a Christian. You must follow these laws. There are always people in the Christian faith trying to impose law upon the Christian when the whole message of Christ is that we've been set free from the law of sin and death. And so Paul is essentially highlighting these things where people are commanding forbidding marriage because that is a denial, remember, of anything material, forbidding to marriage and stay away from foods. And those, again, are putting people back under the law. It's a denial of Christ. It's a denial of his one sacrifice on the cross. Now, I want to summarize everything we've looked at and learned together this week. Do you hear all of this, Timothy? You have a huge responsibility, is what Paul's saying. The Spirit is expressly telling you that in your ministry, some will depart from the faith. And the battle will be fierce. Competing religions backed by demons will challenge your very message you're proclaiming. Even worse, this stuff will be a reality in your own turf. Men possessed by demons will fill pulpits. They will bring messages that will allure people away to them. You will see some among you in a painful way defect. They will try to bring your people back into bondage, saying, do this to be a Christian, instead of believe and rest in Christ. And worst of all, these people will have their consciences burned with a hot iron. They will reject the truth. They will despise your message. And since their consciences will be burnt, they will not receive your words. But here's your job, verse 6. Instruct the brethren in these things. You recognize Christ is saving a great multitude that no man can number. You fight for the brethren. You instruct them in these things. What things? The words of faith and the good doctrine which you have followed, as he says in verse 6. In other words, you instruct them, Timothy, in the only message that is able to save their souls. You instruct them in the knowledge of Christ and Him crucified, who is the only Savior of men. Is this a message the Christian church needs to hear today or what? Is this a message that pastors need to begin be reoriented and refocused upon? You be nourished in the truth and you give yourself to labors in the Bible and in the gospel and you instruct the brothers and sisters in these things. And not only will you be a good minister of Jesus Christ, but verse 16 is so beautiful in 1 Timothy 4. It's awesome. You will save yourself and those who hear you. That is the pastor's responsibility. That is the congregation's responsibility to see that the pastor is doing those things. He is not a coach. He's being treated like a coach today to sort of help people along and tell them what moves to make in the Christian faith. Like it's a basketball game. He's not a CEO. He's not running a corporation. He is a shepherd of Christ's sheep. He's not a savior of the youth. He's not a moral enthusiast. He is a proclaimer of Christ and his gospel. He is a proclaimer of God's one and only Son who came to this earth to rescue sinners from deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. If a minister is not doing this, my friends, if he's not preaching the word, if he's not giving himself in labor to study the word and not feeding Christ's sheep with this message, what is he doing? The sad reality is he may very well be one of those whom the devil is using to corrupt the truth. This is what we must be. We are in a fight, a battle for souls. It is not time to lay down our swords and be passive to the truth. Some of us have 10 Bibles sitting on our shelves, all with different colors and all in leather. It is time to pick those swords up, the sword of the Spirit, and give ourselves to what we believe. Because after all, it comes down to a war of words. The devil came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and said, "Did God really say? Did God really say, Eve?" And she bought into the lie, didn't she? She bought into a false alternate system. And she and her husband Adam, it ruined us. And it's interesting that Jesus' very first words in the parable of the sower was about the ear. "He who has an ear, let him hear." In the message to the churches in Revelation, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The Spirit has told us something today. In these latter times in which we live, some will depart and be deceived and give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And so that means we must give ourselves to the truth. We must give ourselves to receive the one deposit of truth that God has chosen to save souls with: Christ and Him crucified. My challenge to you today then, my friends, and any pastors listening, and any church members, may Christ then and His gospel be the passion of our hearts. And may we continue diligently in what we've learned and been assured of, knowing that the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation, and that the end of our faith will be the very salvation of our souls according to the glory and the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord. At the Linden United Reformed Church, we desire to see souls brought into Christ Church to be saved from the wrath to come, knowing the terror of God. As Paul said, we persuade men to believe in this Jesus alone for salvation, for righteousness, and for life. Would you like to know more about this Jesus? Join us this Sunday for worship, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. The website address is www.lindenurc.com, or give us a call, 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.